Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too.
At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Meetings, errands, screaming kids, all while scrolling box scores. We get it, and we got you. New York Sports, no filter. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, go Shody. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. I don't know who you are, but happy birthday. McMonagle here with you for two more hours. I got you until 5 o'clock on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Talking a lot of Yankees, talking a lot of Juan Soto, talking a lot of Mets. Well, obviously, look, I mean, it was a fun atmosphere. It is a great atmosphere. It was fun in the building. Everyone's all excited. I thought Friday night, again, I was more focused on the Knicks after maybe, what was it, the first two innings or so. I was more focused on the Knicks than I was that game Friday night, but a great atmosphere. I thought everyone handled it great. I thought Juan Soto handled it fine. And that was like, when he tipped his cap, I thought, oh, he's going to have a great series. Like, he gets it. He's not overly concerned about this. It's not going to get to him. He's having a laugh over it, which we should. We should all be able to laugh about it. Like, I'm not happy he left. I'm still not. I'm not like our last caller. I'm just not. I wish I could tell you different. I'm not. I'm still not thrilled Juan Soto is gone. I'm never. It's going to be very difficult for me to get there after watching him last year with the Yankees. It's just hard. I know it's a lot of money, but and right now he's not putting up numbers anywhere near his worth or what he's getting paid. I understand that. But the guy is just, he's a phenomenal player. Something is up with him right now, but I thought the atmosphere was great. The way he handled it was great. I thought the way the bleacher creatures turned his back on him in right field, I thought that was great. It's fun. It's not. They're not throwing things at him. They're not chanting profanities at him. Like, it was just, although that did happen. It happened last night. I'm just saying, that wasn't the reaction that, you know, in the moment they turned their back on him. That's fun. That's good. That's okay. I thought everything was handled great. It was a fun experience. I was at the game last night. It was a fun, crazy atmosphere. We were in this suite, and I guess you should know this real quick. If you're ever lucky enough to get suite tickets to the New York Yankees, it's first come, first serve on the outdoor seating. Like, we didn't know that. We got there late. Like, we had tickets that had seats associated with them, but the entire three rows of outdoor seats outside of, like, the closed area were all filled up, and it was like, nah, it's kind of just first come, first serve. Oh, okay. So we were stuck kind of inside the building. And so I didn't get as much of the atmosphere as I would have liked sitting inside the enclosed doors. But I got a good view of the game. I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining at all. It was a great atmosphere and a great game. But like a couple things, like the overreactions that we get. Like, we're going to get it from Anthony Volpe, too. And I want to talk about Anthony Volpe for a second. But like the overreaction to Juan Soto that we're getting, like, I get it. He's 1-for-10 in this series. He's not been good as a New York Met yet. He hasn't. I'm not trying to couch it. I'm a big OPS guy. He's got 8 home runs. 20 RBIs is really down for him. I'll be the first to admit 20 RBIs at this point in the season is really low. He hasn't hit with runners in scoring position. But he's getting on base despite the .246 average. He's got an .822 OPS. It's not Juan Soto, who finished with what, a .980 last year for the New York Yankees? But may we all slump like that, is my point. May we all slump to .822 OPSs. Or may every one of our favorite players slump to .822 OPSs. He's struggling. There's something not right with him. I'm not seeing as much shuffling, but I don't think the Mets are, you know, in the midst of the worst 15-year decision they've ever made or that anyone's ever made in professional sports. And let me get to Anthony Volpe for a second, because I want to have this conversation about Anthony Volpe, because I got bombarded. Anthony Volpe had a miserable night, and if the Yankees had lost this game, Anthony Volpe would have been a major talking point. He would have been the guy who wore it, right? If the Mets would have rallied late or scratched across a run there with against Jonathan Loaisiga, and the Yankees would have lost this game, he had two at-bats with the bases loaded that were awful, right? He gets off of a walk to load the bases earlier in the game, and he swings at the first pitch and hits a light ground ball to shortstop. Now, I'm different than most. I don't hate the idea of swinging at the first pitch off a walk, especially with two outs. If you get a fastball in the zone, because, listen, they want to get ahead. After walking a guy, the last thing you want to do is nibble again. If they come right at you with a fastball down the middle, I don't hate swinging at it. I know people get so mad at swinging at the first pitch off a walk. I don't love it necessarily, but that might be the best pitch you get all at bat. I don't have as big a problem with as some, but he does swing at the first pitch and hits a light ground ball, and then his second at bat with the bases loaded, where they really pitched around Judge and then Bellinger. Didn't throw anything to Bellinger, right? They pitched around Judge with the unintentional walk. Then they pretty much pitch around Bellinger, and you get Volpe up again, hitting fifth in this lineup, which we're going to get to in a second. And if he would have just stood there, he would have walked six different times. He swung at every, like he was ahead 3-0, took a fastball strike, and then swung at everything. It was an awful at bat. He swung at three or four balls and fouled off a bunch before finally striking out. He was the GOAT of this game. But this is my point. We can never just say, man, what a miserable night for this player. We always have to break it down into they're terrible and what a disaster and it's the worst contract and he's a bum and it's this. Like Anthony Volpe, because immediately, like a bunch of people, Alan in New Hyde Park, who was there, who calls in every once in a while, he immediately comes running to me. You can't hit Volpe fifth. You can't hit Volpe fifth. A million people are tweeting at me, what is Volpe doing hitting fifth? He's a bum. He's an embarrassment. He's this. He's that. Anthony Volpe, heading into the game, had an OPS of 1,000, 1.000, against left-handed pitching. He's got an OPS of 1,000 against left-handed pitching. You got Goldschmidt leading off. They're going lefty-righty, lefty-righty. You got Goldschmidt, you got Judge. Give me another right-handed at-bat that you prefer over Anthony Volpe. Let's just start there with hitting fifth against left-handed pitching. And someone actually had the balls. And please call in. I'd love to hear from you at 888-808-1019. Someone had the balls to tell me DJ LeMahieu. 3 days ago, DJ LeMahieu was an embarrassment to the franchise that he was still a part of the team. It was an embarrassment that they didn't just cut his ass. What are we doing with DJ LeMahieu again? He hits one home run and a couple of base hits, and suddenly he needs to be higher in the lineup than Anthony Volpe against left-handed starting pitching when Anthony Volpe has 1,000 OPS? And let's be fair about Anthony Volpe. He has not Bobby Witt Jr. And yes, he was said sort of, I mean, I think people thought Bobby Witt Jr. was going to be better, but Bobby Witt Jr. was the second best prospect in baseball, and he was the sixth. He was right there in the conversation of Bobby Witt Jr., Gunnar Henderson, and he is nowhere near those players. I know Gunnar Henderson is part of a fledgling franchise right now as they lost again and got swept by the Nationals, fired their manager, the embarrassment that is the Baltimore Orioles. And he's having a down year and wasn't great in the second half of last year. But still, he's not Gunnar Henderson. He's not Bobby Witt Jr. We get that. He's got a 740 OPS overall. He is a top 10 offensive, not just overall, he is a top 10 offensive shortstop in the game. We know what he is defensively. Listen, he's made a couple of key errors. I'm not going to deny that. Even last year in the ninth inning, he particularly had some bad blunders that cost Clay Holmes a lot. He was terrible behind Clay Holmes, and he's had some key errors this season, no doubt. But we see him. If you watch him play defense every day, he is a very good with a lot of range. His arm strength was supposed to be an issue. It's a non-issue. He's a very good defensive shortstop. And he's a top 10. He's not a world beater. He's not a superstar. He's not even an all-star. But I'll tell you right now, Anthony Volpe, if he is what he's been defensively and he has a 750 OPS, you know what that is? That's the starting shortstop of the New York Yankees for the next 10 years. That's what that is. That's what that is. It's not a superstar. He's not going to have a massive contract, but he is going to be the Yankee starting shortstop for a long time if he can have a 750 to 760 OPS and play excellent defensive shortstop. That's what he's going to be. Because you know what? Look around the league. There are some really great ones. There's Lindor playing in this series. There's Bobby Witt Jr. There's Paul Gold. Gunnar Henderson. There are some really good shortstops. Right now, like the idea we're ready to just throw Anthony Volpe to the Wolves, he's had a better offensive season. He's at the top of shortstops RBI-wise. He's got as many RBIs as any other shortstop in the game. Like, he had a miserable night. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say he struggles against high-velocity fastballs. It's okay to say he's not nearly what we thought or hoped he could be. But Anthony Volpe's not a bum, and is presently constituted on this roster, it's warranted that he is the fifth hitter against left-handed starting pitching. Like, can we ever just have a conversation and talk about a disappointing night without having to go into, like, the last caller, I'm couching it, oh, just say what he is. Anthony Volpe was disappointing last night. Anthony Volpe had a miserable game last night in two key at-bats. I still think he's having a far better year than he had last year. I still think offensively he's improving. He's at the top of the league as far as shortstops and RBIs. And he's got a 740 OPS. It's not world beater, but it's also not a bum that needs to be off this team immediately. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Rob in New London. What's up, Rob?
Hey, C-Mac, how's it going tonight?
Good, brother. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. I mean,
I was doing
all,
well until I went to just take a sip of my coffee and there's a fly in it. Now I'm not so happy. A fly in my coffee. Doesn't that fly know that I've been up since 6:30 this morning and did 5 hours on the radio and I'm exhausted and I need my caffeine? Now I got to go make another cup of coffee.
Well, that's why the fly did do that, because it did know.
Yes, exactly. It's a little bastard of a fly. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, first of all, what a great country. I mean, my God, what a weekend. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the Yankees, they have something. And you have got to love this. We'll call it core, right? Because I'm not calling core four. We don't want to replace the core four. Nobody, God forbid, we ever make a comparison. But this is a nice core that we have this year. I mean, my God, look at this lineup. Year after year after year, we talk about the circular firing squad, which is supposed to be the New York Yankees' ideal lineup. Mm-hmm. And this year, it's close. It's pretty damn close. And as far as Anthony Volpe goes, you need players like him, because now he's not going to cost us a lot of money. And you know what? He could improve down the road. And if he doesn't, at least we know what we have. And it's not going to be a huge decision to move on. But I got to tell you a personal story, right? You want to talk? I love baseball. And when I was trying to follow baseball when you're on a you know, a submarine is impossible. What I remember in, what was it?
I'm sure.
2007. No, 2008. Remember Jabba?
I do remember. I remember Jabba. Yes.
Well, that year when he was like the biggest thing.
That was the second half of 2007.
Yeah. So I was on. That was one year I was on one of the boats, and I'm a retired chief petty officer. But that particular year, oh my God, I remember following the Yankees that summer, and every 5 days or whatever, you get like a 5 to 6 line article on like the entire Major League Baseball.
Right.
And oh my God, that was rough. But this year, this Yankees team though, they're I like them. They're fun.
I agree, Rob, and thank you very much, and thank you for your service as well. I think this is a fun group. I got to admit. That's why I'm bummed. I got to be honest. I know I'm the shill. I know I'm Mr. Yankee positive. I get it, right? Even this morning, I was joking about, how Yankee fans, don't care. Oh, the only time they mention regular season games is when they lose them, or they're trying to defend the 1980s and George Steinbrenner and Don Mattingly. That's the only time we care about regular season wins or regular season games. And we're all, still unhappy and bitter, and we're complaining about everything, and it's just... It's obnoxious. Like, we never just enjoy. Like, we never just enjoy the year. Like, it's always, well, can they win the World Series? And if not, this team sucks, and Brian Cashman sucks, and this sucks, and that sucks, and we all suck, and Aaron Boone sucks, and this one sucks. Like, it's just such negativity around a franchise that's had so much positivity. Like, I guess that's just where I come off different. I'm not happy they haven't won the World Series since 2009. I'm not happy with every decision they make. I killed Boone on Saturday. I thought Boone had a terrible game. I would have bunted Vivas, and I would have pinch hit for Ascara with runner at third with an opportunity for a sacrifice fly to take the lead in that game. I was surprised he didn't do either of those things. I thought he had a bad game. But, I mean, the Yankees right now have the largest division lead in the sport. They've got a lineup that has as many above-average hitters in it than any other in baseball. Max Fried is a pleasure to watch and is an ace, and his pitching is, like, in his 9 starts or 10 starts now, I believe, I don't know if Gerrit Cole has had a 10-start stretch as good as this. Like, this is how good he's been. This is how good he's been. Like, yeah, they've blown some leads late, and that always sucks to watch. And, yeah, they're bad in extra innings, right? So there's been 3 games on the road, extra innings, with futile offensive performances. So, like, of course, there's nothing perfect about them. They're not a perfect ball club. They have flaws. They have issues. So do the Mets. So do the Dodgers right now, who just got swept by the Angels. Like, nobody's perfect. Nobody's going to play a clean brand of baseball. Nobody's ideally built. Like, even the Dodgers aren't, running away with things. They've had some injuries, but that's part of it. When you spend a lot of money on starting pitching, injuries occur. Like, everyone's going to, like, when the Yankees have, injuries to Giancarlo Stanton. No, well, when you sign older players and injury-prone players, you can't complain when they're injured. But nobody says that about the Dodgers when they traded for Glasnow and signed Snell, and they're both out for long extended periods of time. Nobody says, well, that's what happens, Dodgers. Everyone just says, oh, the Dodgers are great. They won the World Series, so that's it. But, like, nobody's perfect. And the Yankees have some flaws, and so do the Mets. But both teams are really good. And both teams have been fun to watch, and I agree with you. This Yankee team has been fun to watch. I've enjoyed this season. They're younger. They're more athletic. They run the bases better. I still wish they would steal more. I was screaming last night. I don't know why on first. Like, try and steal a base with Dominguez. Like, they can run first to third. They can, beat out double plays much better than they have in years. Like, we have seen, they put pressure on the defense. Alonso has to make a good throw there. I don't think that was a no-brainer, but he has to put that ball right on the money if he's going to even make that play close, because Dominguez is a bullet. Like, I'm really having fun watching the Yankees, and I think the Mets are really good, too. The Mets have some issues, too. We can get it. We spent most of the time on the Yankees. I'm a Yankee fan. They won the series, but mostly we've been talking Juan Soto with the Mets. The Mets have some issues. Right now, Vientos' defense, I thought Vientos kind of solved his issues defensively last year. Or I don't know if solved is the right word, but he got to a point where I was confident in him. And this year, they're not. How could you be confident in his defense? Right now with Winker on the shelf and Marte hitting the way he's hitting, although he has a double in this game, he's hitting under 200. He's really struggled in his new role of kind of platoon part-time player. Like, I think Vientos, with the way Beatty is hitting and what we've seen defensively from Beatty, is far superior to what we've seen from Vientos. Like, I think that's a discussion now of playing Beatty at third base and really playing a lot of Vientos at DH. I think that's probably something the Mets should look into. The starting pitching is great. Another David, Robertson was really, after giving up the two runs, and really it was built on the error on the first play of the game from Vientos. Then Judge hits the double down the line on really wasn't a hard hit ball, just placed perfectly on a kind of like fly ball that was just placed perfectly in the corner and lands for a double. And then he gives up the base hit to Bellinger. And from that point on, he absolutely shut down the Yankees. He had a really good start, six innings, two runs, had really a stretch there where the Yankees didn't do a lot at all. So they continue to pitch. They continue to have defensive struggles, and their offense right now is just like Soto is Soto, and we're seeing his struggles, and we've kind of talked about a lot of Soto. I'll continue to take your calls on Soto. But, yeah, Pete Alonso's cooled off a little bit. Even Lindor really didn't have much of an impact in this series. He's cooled off a little bit. And when the two of them are going, it's one thing. But right now, yeah, this offense just isn't clicking. They've been bad with runners in scoring position. They're not scoring a ton of runs. And they made some key mistakes in these two games that helped the Yankees win this series.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
But I think this was these are two really good teams. That's what we saw. And ultimately, the Mets move on to Boston. And quite honestly, the Yankees move on to a more important series against the Texas Rangers. Like, now that it's over, we have all this fun, all this energy's built up, all the excitement. Now the game is over. As I'm watching the highlights, Pete Alonso throws the ball away. The Yankees get the third run. Vivas has the at-bat of the game. What an at-bat from Vivas. And, you know, there's a conversation we had about him and the, you know, the role players of this team and the bottom of the lineup of this team, especially against left-handed pitching. But he comes through with an incredible at-bat, gets that ground ball. They put pressure on Pete to make a good throw. He throws it away. And then the inning kind of unravels, and it ends with Bellinger hitting the grand slam. But all these games were played, you know, relatively well. All of them were pretty close, even though the two wins from the Yankees seem like rousing victories. 8-2 last night is a very misleading score. That's a tight ball game in the eighth inning. But a fun series, a lot of nonsense around Juan Soto, but ultimately two very good teams. Yankees take 2 of 3, prove they belong. I mean, that's what I think. Like, as far as a Yankee fan, I would be happy. I think the Yankees proved over this stretch, like, they belong. Everyone talks about the American League being down, the National League's far better. Well, they've won 4 series in a row, and the bookends were taking 2 out of 3 from the San Diego Padres and 2 out of 3 from the Mets. I think the Yankees have proved they belong in any league. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing? 2 times in 1 day talking to you.
2 times in 1 day. Well, I mean, technically it is Monday, but yes. Yeah. 2 times in a 24-hour period.
Real quick, I just want to get a couple of things off my chest.
Yes. That's
not to blow you up, but that's why you are the best guy at the station. You're rational. You're not going to make silly declarations. And you know as well as anybody how the baseball season goes. Mm-hmm. The Yankees can very well get swept by Texas. The
of
Mets
course.
Might go up to Fenway and score 30 runs in 3 games.
And Soto might hit 5 home runs in the series and pepper,
yeah.
And you know, pepper the monster all 3 games long. So, yeah.
People are talking about core fours. I mean, let's relax. I mean, we all have to relax. Here's the thing that worries me. You see, when Soto was cold during the stretch, you know, Lindor and Alonso were hot. Now they've calmed down. But what I'm concerned about as a Met fan is we're really short an arm. We haven't replaced Minter. We have to replace an arm. And if you look at the lineup, the guy who nobody really gets on is, Vientos isn't the hitter he was last year. Nimmo, who's been like a career 800 OPS guy, is suddenly like a 700 OPS guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the middle of the lineup. Winker right there. And the kid Alvarez, who I understand he's still in 23.
Yeah.
Like, this guy was the number one prospect in baseball. He was profiled. We thought he was going to be like a 275, 280 hitter and hit 224, like hit like 25 homers a year.
Yep.
And he just hasn't been that.
No.
So you're looking at the middle of that lineup. It's just right non-existent right now. And like I told you this morning, you can't, you know, in the National League, you can't fall back 5 or 6 games, you know, in like July, August. You're not going to make that up. So I'm not saying we're panicking, but, you know, it's maybe that lineup isn't all what it's cracked up to be when you looked at
No, offensively they're bad, and you pointed to a guy. There's no doubt about it, Tommy. As we talk about Anthony Volpe, a high-level prospect that hasn't lived up, Alvarez has had his moments, and Alvarez has been great defensively, and he throws out runners extremely well, and he's still young, and he's had his injuries, and he's missed at bats, and he's missed time. But yes, no, offensively, he has not been what he was profiled to be. There is no doubt about it. He has been a disappointment. And yeah, this Met offense is not scoring as many runs as it should. There's no doubt about it. Like, they are really, Juan Soto's just not been himself. Pete Alonso's cooled off. Nimmo had gotten on a little bit of a stretch here the last 2 weeks where he's looked a lot better than he was earlier. Alvarez is giving you nothing. Marte's giving you nothing. Vientos off to a terrible start, starting to turn it around, but still, his overall numbers for the year aren't good. And right now, defensively, he's just been a butcher. He's been killing them defensively. Acuna is on a little bit of a slump here. Was he 1 for his last 10 or 2 for his last 13 or something? So he's struggling a little bit, but you've liked what you've seen from him and what you've got from him for the most part. But yeah, the lineup doesn't, you know, it's not overly threatening without Juan Soto. And that's why, look, while I do agree, like, I'm trying to be fair about Juan Soto, but there is no doubt the Mets need him. Like, they don't need the 246 version with an 822 OPS. We can try and use that as a reason to say, hey, look, it's a slump, and still, even while he's slumping, it's not like he's been dreadful. Like, I could say that forever, and it's true. But it doesn't change the fact that they paid him $765 million, like the caller said. I guess I could be more firm on him. He's got to be better for the Mets. There's no doubt about it. We are a week away from Memorial Day, which is the first real tentpole of the season, where you stop and take a look around where you are in the standings for the real first time of the year. You take a look at how your players are performing. You take a look at what's going on, and you kind of get a real assessment of who your team is. And right now, I mean, that's a third of the season, and for a third of the season, Juan Soto hasn't been nearly good enough, and he hasn't impacted the games enough. That's the main thing. Last year with the Yankees, and I hate to bring it up, but it's what I saw. It's what got him $765 million. It's not just me trying to rub it in as a Yankee fan. It's what got him paid. Last year, Juan Soto was the epitome of impactful. Like, he was, at the beginning of the year when Judge was struggling in April, he carried the Yankees, carried them. And every, like, by this point, he was hitting walk-off home runs against the Giants. Like, he was the epitome of impactful. He changed the way they played. He brought a sense of urgency. He was helping the young hitters. Like, it was a different feel than it is now. There's no way around it. It's just the truth. Last year with the Yankees, everyone around the batting cage, it was like this amazing thing that Juan Soto's with the Yankees, and immediately he gets the base hit that gives them the lead in against the Astros. He throws a runner out at home, you know, to save the game. And immediately he took off. He carried them. He was feeling himself. He was shuffling till his heart content. Like, we're just not seeing it now. That's the difference. He's not awful. He's not impactful. And last year with the New York Yankees, he was the epitome of impactful. You couldn't be more impactful. He changed the entire dynamic of the team. He has not done that for the Mets. He just hasn't. He's just been another decent player in the middle of a lineup. That's it. That's all he's been. He has not been the great Juan Soto who changed who you are as a team and as a franchise. And the Mets have used his signing and his decision to choose the Mets as some sort of franchise-changing decision. And him coming to the Mets changed everything. It changed the town. It changed Big Brother. Now it's the Yankees who we get to say, oh, enjoy your World Series, when for years it was the Mets who got, the Yankee fans would say that to the Mets. Like, his signing changed the dynamic of how the franchises are viewed. But on the field, he's changed nothing. He hasn't changed anything. He hasn't impacted this team. He hasn't made them something different. He hasn't made them something special. He hasn't really done anything to impact them and take them to that next level that you expect for $765 million. Now, he's not been brutal, but he hasn't had the impact. Last year, he changed everything for the New York Yankees. And he hasn't changed anything for the New York Mets. 888-808-1019. Stuart, we're going to get to your call. I got a break. I'm sorry. It's already 3:32, but we'll get to your call. We'll get to all your calls. I know I did a lot of Knicks this morning, but I will still take your Knick calls as we get ready. I know we're going to have a bunch of days to preview this game on Wednesday, but what we saw Friday night, Carl Anthony Towns was in the building at Yankee Stadium last night wearing the greatest shirt I've ever seen. So we'll get into that as well. 888-808-1019. A big applause for Carl Anthony Towns, who came out with a fire in game number 6. And absolutely dominated that first half and changed the way, I think, hopefully, all Knick fans felt about him after what he did in Game 6.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 338. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Was at the game last night with Loogie and Sean Marash. And Marash had a tough go of it. Marash was struggling with his stomach. I don't know if it was, you know, what he was, drinking at Stan's and at Billy's for a little bit, and then mixed in with sushi and chicken fingers, whatever the case. Every time I looked over, every time I was sitting next to him and Tommy, every time I looked over at Sean, he just had his head in his hands. Look, and he would look back. I'm just like, oh, gee, get the hell out of here, bro.
It's a weird combo.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen,
chicken
that's
tenders
what,
and sushi.
Well, I mean, not just exclusively, but, you know, yeah. That was part of the buffet. So, you know, we all had a little bit of everything. So you probably had some sushi and some chicken fingers, you know, maybe not together with the same bite. But yes,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Over the course of the time we ate, you probably had both. And I don't know what was up, but I mean, it wasn't like he was sick or anything, but you could tell he was off sitting there the whole game. And then, of course, you know, Evan and his son Jet were there, and he's scoring the book. And Evan, you know, listen, I'm into that. I'm into the game, too. You can't talk to Evan when you go to these things. You just know it. Like, I barely got a chance to thank him for the ticket. I mean, that he's just focused. He's doing the book. He's watching the game. His son is peppering him with a million questions, which makes me feel better because I have a son who peppers me with a million questions just nonstop. And so he's sitting there talking to his son, doing the book, watching the game, sitting off by themselves. They were the only two with seats and we were inside. So I barely even saw Evan. Evan, it was nice to see you. But yeah, hopefully Sean made it home okay and in one piece because he had to get the hell out of there. But the Yankees do come away with a win. They win the series. They take 2 of 3 from the Mets. The Subway Series is now over until the 4th of July when the Yankees will head to Citi Field. But a lot of different things come away from this game to me, and we'll reset it again at 4 o'clock. It's time to throw Brian Cashman flowers. This series is won. Like, for all the talk about Juan Soto, the Mets were beat by the players that the Yankees added after they lost them. After they took Juan Soto away, after they convinced him with free suites and wardrobes and $765 million and the promise of the beginnings of the greatest organization in professional sports history. After they lured him away from the New York Yankees, the Yankees had to pivot. And last night, that culminated in winning the series while Juan Soto struggled and watching Cody Bellinger, the main pivot, hit the ball over his head and into the seats of the short porch to give the Yankees a 6-run lead in the eighth inning and a series victory over Juan Soto and the New York Mets. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, good morning, C-Man.
Good morning, brother. How are we doing?
Very well after Friday and very well after last night. And you're right. The players that the Yankees were not acquired after losing Soto prove one thing. We must throw bouquets of flowers at Brian Cashman. Because look, not only did they pivot, they pivoted to a better team. Better defensively, better on the base pads, and just an overall better outlook on the team. They got Devin Williams, they got Max Fried, they got Cody Bellinger, and we have a full season. Hopefully Jazz comes back, and Paul Goldschmidt. And it's really good to see, finally, after you lose someone that you didn't expect to lose, but the team is performing at a very good level, and hopefully when Hill gets back and Giancarlo comes back, it could get even better. And Mawazio seems to be healthy. That's a big point.
Yeah.
Because him in the bullpen, when he's out there, you feel confident because that guy has amazing stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. Him coming back. I mean, listen, I think the bullpen is going, and thank you for the call, Stu. I think the bullpen is one of the better elements of the team. It's struggled at times, and it's blown them some games, particularly Devin Williams, but everyone's had a hand in it. Everyone pretty much put Weaver, although he came in that one game and couldn't figure out how to get those last outs after Williams loaded the bases. But other than that, he's been pretty flawless. But even, Cruz, who's been great, had his game against the A's, and, Saturday against the Mets gave up a run. Obviously, Leiter's been really good, but he's had his moments. But the bullpen overall, I think by the end of the year, you got Jonathan Loaisiga, you've got Cruz, you've got, Efros could be back. I have no idea what he's going to be, but it's a good arm and someone they traded for 2 years ago. And then, of course, to me, you got Weaver and Williams. I think that is you add Loaisiga to that, you've got an excellent back end of the bullpen. I think that the pitching was supposed to be their biggest strength. It hasn't been so far this year, but when they get Luis Gil back, and now that they're getting Jonathan Loaisiga back, and Williams is turning into form, I think the rotation, even without Gerrit Cole, especially if this is going to be the Max Fried that we see, I think it's the pitching staff is still going to be what carries them, and or could be, certainly the bullpen could be the best element of this team, and the offense still waiting on Giancarlo Stanton. And we'll see. And think about it. How much depth did the Yankees have for the first time in forever? We're arguing about Jason Dominguez and Bellinger and Grisham and Rice. How do we get all these guys in the lineup? These guys need to hit. Some Yankee fan somewhere is pissed off at the lineup every day. How is this guy not in the lineup? How is that guy not in the lineup? They have depth. They have good pieces. They have good options off the bench. They got either Rice off the bench or Grisham off the bench or Dominguez off the bench or Bellinger off the bench. Like, we haven't seen that before. And then when you add Giancarlo Stanton coming back, I don't know how they're going to incorporate it, but you're going to have a bench that's far better with far more options than they've had in a long time. John in Vernon, New Jersey. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing? Just calling with Juan Soto. I know you said earlier, trolling or whatever, but I've always felt like he was, he's all about himself when he was on the Nationals, when he went to San Diego. Always seems to be about him. And last year we caught him, he had a great season, but that was his year to get his big contract. If you put the lineup and ask me if would I rather have, unfortunately Gerrit Cole's out, but if we had Cole, Rodon, and Fried, if we had those three starters, I would take them over, having Juan Soto anytime, and I just, it's unfortunate Cole's out, but I still think we got a good team, but I think we're better off, now than we were.
Listen, that's the question, right? And that's what I think for the first time I'm willing to say they are better right now. again, and I want to preface it because I can only speak. I don't take these long views. You know, I get into it with a particular guy on Twitter all the time. Like sometimes Yankee fans act like every loss can tell you something that's going to be the ultimate flaw of this team. Like we read so much into so much crap. Same thing with the Mets too. Like we read, like I'm just saying for now. Right now, today, which is important in the way they played and moving forward, I like the team. Right now, today, I'm willing to say something I never thought I'd say. As a Yankee fan, off of last season's, you know, trip to the World Series and how great Juan Soto was, I was a all-in Juan Soto guy. I was everything. I give him the sweets, give him the wardrobes, give him everything he asks. I don't care. I want Juan Soto back. That was me. I still, and it's hard to get off that. I still kind of feel that way. I would have given him everything. I wouldn't have drawn the line anywhere. I would have said, okay, what do you need? You want a suite? Okay, like I love it. And people are like, how could you look Judge in the face and tell him he couldn't get a suite, but Juan Soto can? I don't know. How could I look Judge in the face and tell him Juan Soto? I just offered Juan Soto $760 million, and you had to I had to call you from the Vatican to offer you 400 or 360 rather. How about I offered Juan Soto double what I gave you, but you have no problem telling him that, but you can't tell him that you gave him a free suite? What's the difference, man? Oh, Jeter never got a free suite. So what? Jeter never had an opportunity to, you know, grow a beard either. That's changed. Who gives a damn? I would have given it to him. I would have. And I was a big Plan B sucks guy. I was screaming it from the rooftops. Plan B sucks. I wanted to make shirts. I was thinking about, like, you know, Sal made some shirts in the overnight with his the World Baseball, the Pointless Baseball Classic, or whatever it was, and everything. And I was like, let me make some Plan B suck shirts. But I think everyone would think it's a political thing with Plan B, and I didn't want to bring up that conversation. If I wore a Plan B suck shirt, I'm not sure what people would have thought. So I got away from it. But like I hated Plan B, and it's hard for me to admit this. It is. And it's not just because Juan Soto's not playing well. It's because the Yankees specifically. The Yankees are better today having not signed Juan Soto than they would have been with him. Because, I mean, listen, now, if you tell me they go out and sign Max Fried anyway, then yeah, okay. But I don't think they would have done that. Obviously, Bellinger's not here, but that's okay because it would be a swap Soto for Bellinger. But really, it's... And even I think Paul Goldschmidt might have still been here, 1 year, $12 million deal for a first baseman. Like I still think that's plausible, that he's on this team. We don't know. Nestor Cortez, because they wouldn't have signed Max Fried. I think that's the most sure. They would not have paid Max Fried. So Nestor Cortez might have been needed to the Yankees, and they wouldn't have had the depth having signed Max Fried to trade him for Devin Williams. So maybe Devin Williams isn't here. Maybe certainly Max Fried isn't here. Bellinger isn't here. And right now, the way this lineup is constructed, the depth of it and what they're getting from Max Fried and what hopefully Devin Williams is turning back into at the back end of the bullpen, and specifically what we saw from this series is won by Bellinger and by Goldschmidt, and Williams has two big outings, and like this is, and Max Fried gets them a win last night, although he didn't get the win. Like the pivot won them this series, and all the talk about Juan Soto and all the talk about Aaron Judge, what Brian Cashman did after they didn't get Juan Soto has changed the team for the better. As of right now. And we will see. But it's also a team with Juan Soto that went to the World Series, hit the home run that sent them there. We'll see if that happens. Let's see if Bellinger hits a home run to win the ALCS. If they do, then it'll be a hell of a lot easier to tell you they're better off. But it's a good series win, and now they move on, and quite honest, after day off tonight, the Yankees go play a Texas Rangers series that's more important. The Mets will turn and take on the Boston Red Sox, and now every Yankee fan should immediately, after screaming Juan Soto sucks, leaving the building. And look, I don't lecture people. I think it's stupid. I don't understand it. Like, there was a guy in the suite who immediately after the Bellinger home run had his girlfriend or friend start to film him. And he was doing this ridiculous dance, screaming Juan Soto, you know, blank Juan Soto right into the phone. I'm like, what are we doing? And then as me and Tommy are leaving the building, and I'm sure this is going to get talked about because I know Tommy and we were talking about it as we were walking out, I'm sure Lou Gower is going to talk about the F1 Soto chants and the fervor at which it was screamed as we're exiting the building. I don't understand it. You just won the series. Who cares? How about let's go Yankees? That would have been fine for me, but that's not what was chanted as we left the building. What was chanted as we left the building was F. Juan Soto. I don't know why. I don't understand it. Like, if Juan Soto hit three home runs in the game and won the series for the Mets, okay. Now, you would have been shot down by Met fans leaving, or it would have been, you know, it would have been almost as embarrassing. I don't understand it. I thought Friday night, look, a little bit of that is fine. You're never going to get, always going to get some dopes. But for the most part, the boos were loud. I thought that was fun. It created a fun atmosphere. The tip of the cap from Juan Soto was great. I thought turning your back on him was extremely well done. I like that. It's better than booing. You turned your back on us and signed somewhere else, we'll turn our back on you. That's fine. The F. Juan Soto stuff, hopefully this is it. We'll see if it's going to be for the next 15 years. But it was a fun atmosphere. Again, Carl Anthony Towns, who had a dominant first half, baby. Carl Anthony Towns is soft. This team would have been better with Julius Randle. We'll see. Right now they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I'm watching the 1995 highlights and the Patrick Ewing finger roll. And then you get to 99 and the Larry Johnson four-point play. I like that one better. I like that highlight better. But Carl Anthony Towns was in the building. And he got put on camera, got an enormous ovation, and then he stood up and showed off the shirt he was wearing. And I don't know if, I'm sure it's made its way over all over social media if you haven't seen it yet, but Carl Anthony Towns stands up and he shows the shirt, and the shirt is from the big, heavy, bearded Knick fan, the Bing Bong video from a couple years ago after the first game of the series against the first game of the season against the Celtics a couple years ago. He's got the Bing Bong guy on his shirt, or the, you know, the guy who goes crazy with the heavy set guy with the jersey on, no undershirt, and the big beard. That's the shirt he was wearing, and the place went nuts. It was awesome. He got a huge ovation, and then it followed by a "Let's Go Knicks" chant, and that's the fun thing, right? And I did a lot. I was on less than 24 hours ago. I did 5 hours earlier on Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can go back and listen to my open about the Subway Series at 2 a.m. here. You can go back and listen to my open on the Knicks at 8 a.m. Sunday morning, if you like, on the Odyssey app. I did a lot of Knicks there. We had Ian Begley on. He did a great job. Like, that party, I do want to talk about it. I know the Subway Series is fresh, but that game Friday night and what we got to experience from the Knicks, I don't know if I've ever felt that way. That was such a unique experience. I remember the feeling, the opposite feeling, Game 7, against the Red Sox in 2004, where they jumped out quick, blew the game open, Johnny Damon gets the grand slam, and then it's like a sixth inning, just you sit there and just you know it's over, but you got to go through the motions. Like, on the other side of it, for a fan base that hasn't been to this point in 25 years, right, to go out there and so much talk about if they come out with the right sense of urgency, if they can come out and play their game, off of the embarrassing loss, if you want to call it that, somewhat embarrassing for me, not overly embarrassing. They're the champion. I didn't expect them to roll over in Game 5, but they got their asses kicked in Game 5 in Boston without Tatum. A lot of thought about that was the turning point, and the Celtics found something, and they're actually more dangerous without Tatum because of the ball movement and their ability to run their offense better, as opposed to Tatum needing his touches and all that nonsense that we heard for a couple days. But then to come out and finally see that effort, see both sides of the ball, to have that sequence of Mitch Robinson guarding everybody on the floor on one play and then closing out on Brown in the corner and stealing the ball away, to see everybody touch it, to see Carl Anthony Towns go to the basket and dominate early on, and to just have that be a celebration for damn near three quarters, up 30 points, and just listen to the Garden in a continuous roar. Like, maybe we have heard, and Ian Begley was talking about this with me yesterday morning, we have heard louder moments. We have heard, you know, a louder sequence late in the fourth quarter or something. But the sustained volume of excitement throughout the entire game, as everyone in the building knew The Knicks were going to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. And to sit there and watch it and to just have a party, like, you know, Friday night's my martini night. I sent out the picture. I'm making a martini. I didn't even have to watch the TV screen. I went inside. I made my martini. I came back inside. I was ready to party. It was like it was a experience that I've never had before, certainly as a Knicks fan. And all, you know, this series is won clearly by the, it's not won in game six. It's won in games one and two in the second half, and how they close out the games and how they play down the stretch. And then obviously the second half of offense in game number four that gave them the 3-1 lead. Those were the moments that won the series. And this was just like the culmination of all that hard work that they did in the second half of game one, the second half of game two, the second half of game four, like all that hard work. Everything they had to do to defeat the champion was just, it was almost like we were able to celebrate those moments by just a dominant performance, sit back with our feet up, and watch the Knicks literally dance into the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. It was an incredible experience. And then, just because we had to have one, we had one moment or a couple of moments of screaming at the television of, Tibbs, take the starters out! What are you doing? He had to give us that one little last little shove to all the minutes police people. Just, hey, you know what? I'm going to leave these guys in here just to remind you that you can go stick it. As Tibbs had a really good series, Tibbs had a great game. They had a great game. The game plan was perfect. And really, they just came out with an urgency. And right now, you know, their favorite. Listen, Knicks fans, like, they just beat the Boston Celtics. They're moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They have home court advantage. They're favored in the series. And quite honestly, they're good enough to win the whole damn thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.